Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Wrestle Culture. You got a friend in Sammy. You got a friend in Sammy. When the wrestling looks not very oose and you're miles and miles from your nice warm hoose, you just remember what your romance said. Boy, you got a friend in Sammy. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Adam Nicholas and Phil Chambers from What Culture, discuss all the goings on in wrestling this week. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we review Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT Dubai, AEW Rampage, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views, premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, and a great song on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Phil and Nicholas, thought I'd bring back a classic.
You just rhymed house with oos. Yeah. There's no coming back.
I ran.
Actually, rhymed oos with oos, I think you'll find.
There is a moose loose about this oos.
It was a Scottish twang to house, I will admit.
Hey, there's some much better songwriters than you have done a lot worse. Yes. That far fact. I just can't believe you didn't open with like the proper.
Put that in post, it's fine.
Just
your friend is Abby.
It's terrifying being around you sometimes, you know that, just in general.
2 weeks till What Culture Karaoke, saying.
What?
Also, the comedy's dialing.
I was just thinking there, not that this is for anybody who's particularly listening to this show, but why have we just never filmed you once doing this intro?
I know, it is absolutely mental.
I'm going to do that the next time we do this.
A Christmas present for everyone.
There's a Christmas treat for everyone. Because I don't think you understand what goes into this, man. This is a full body experience. That's just for me and Phil. Crazy stuff.
Got my honey and lemon for my vocal warm-up.
Instant regret.
I have to find another Randy Newman song for next week now.
One.
Let's talk Sammy Uso, though.
I don't think you can name another one if I sat here with your there, could you?
Nope.
I'm not saying that good. I just
something about LA. He does a song about LA, I'm sure.
Oh, drinking
LA.
In LA?
Yeah, that's Randy Newman.
What the hell was I doing drinking? Ran Van 3000.
Hey, ring ding a ding.
Randy Newman tickets, man.
And they've all signed up.
Sammy Uso, as if he wasn't enough. It was as if he wasn't Usy enough, sort of sealed the deal, didn't he? At War Games, betraying, some might say, Kevin Owens. I thought he didn't sell out. He bought in to the bloodline for me. What did you make of this?
Because he bought in a long time ago. Come on.
It was just a sensational moment on Saturday.
Not quite day one-ish.
Yes. It was such a good moment, though, and the huge pep for a hug between, not Roman and Sammy, but Jay and Sammy was, it brought a tear to my eye.
They've built this for a bloody long time, haven't they? And finally, he's been welcomed in to the bloodline. Much deserved. It's back bloody time. Mm. I just love, like, obviously the huge pop from the hug at the Survivor Series, but, like, the roar afterwards, just when Jay and Sammy did that little handshake. It's like the first time they've done it in front of a live crowd, and even that is getting, like, a massive pop. Like, everything about this is hitting so goddamn hard. It's absolutely fantastic.
It's the best thing in wrestling, isn't it?
Oh, comfortably. Even as the very, very deliberate casual fan among us now, even the best thing, like, I'm watching AEW every week religiously, and I think this is better than most things, if not everything that's happening there. And I think they're doing a great job as well.
Yeah.
People are connecting with it in a way that you just... It's that great thing in wrestling. There's no real reason. You can't really put your finger on it. Obviously, the performers are exceptional. That always helps, but it's the same. I know people always compare the two, and maybe it's not right, and it's not exactly the same, but people are getting behind him in the way they started to get behind Daniel Bryan in that way. Yeah. It's like the groundswell of this character who's, in the company's eyes, not really meant to be in the mix, but he's so good. He's just undeniable. I mean... The reaction, like, War Games was, you know, War Games. It's a bit like, there's way too many many cooks spoiling the broth. It's way too convoluted. Yeah. I think a lot of people might, if you just enjoy the madness of it, great, I'm sure you had an excellent time. But they still managed amongst all of that to find this really, really good story stuff. And what a way to close the show out. And just some of the shots, like, there's about four or five different Renaissance paintings in that final run that you could be happy with. The hug between Sammy and Roman after he's just done that to Kevin. The hug between Sammy and Jay. Okay. And all of them at the end, all of their arms up in the air. By the way, I'm still in love with Solo Sikoa in general. Everything he does, I'm obsessed with watching. He's just carving his own little path out amongst this amazing storyline.
Even like on Raw with the moment when the Usos and Sammy are all hugging and they're trying to bring him in. Yeah. And it's like, oh, is he going to? Yeah. And then they get interrupted.
It's like trying still, to,
like you say, breathing his own path.
It's like trying to make the Undertaker corpse.
Yeah. Ever. Sammy got him at the live event over the weekend, didn't he?
He did get him at the live event, but it just...
Imagine that. I thought they'd have Sunday off after that.
That's not how it works.
For me, it's kind of clicking a little bit like the early days of the Rock and Sock, where it's like, this is an odd pairing, but like when you see it, it's like, that's clicking, and they're working this together, and it ends up like bringing up both of the guys in very different ways at the exact same time. And I think it's clicking a lot like that with like Sammy and not just... Roman as well, because obviously he's off TV most of the time, but like the rest of the bloodline.
It's a weird bit of me now, because I think for a long time, probably immediately after Hell in a Cell, I was like, cool, Cody comes back, wins the Rumble, wins the titles at Mania, bish, bash, bosh, and keep Roman busy in the interim.
Yep.
And yeah, the stories came out this week following War Games that they seem to, well, depending on whether Roman's calmed down, basically, after he thought that Kevin Owens had popped an eardrum and all the backstage heat that comes with that. Kevin Owens at the Royal Rumble. If not him, Sheamus. I'm fine with that as well, to be honest. I'd prefer Kevin Owens, but Sheamus is more than adequate replacement. And then the heartbreak of Sammy, Elimination Chamber, the pay-per-view, maybe not necessarily the Elimination Chamber match, which is in Montreal. And then, boop, there we go, WrestleMania. Wrestle with the winner of the Rumble, et cetera, right? I saw that and I was like, yep, that makes complete sense. And I was like, but plans change in wrestling.
Yep. Yeah,
and Sami Zayn and the Bloodline was meant to last, I think, 6 weeks.
Yep.
So it would not surprise me if Sami Zayn is world champion in 2023. We're starting to look about making our predictions for next year, and that's one that I don't think is far-fetched at all.
It makes sense. It's like the reaction on Raw, them coming out like without Roman Reigns, they're still getting the biggest pop of the night. And it's just the Usos, Solo Sikoa, and Sami Zayn, the merch that he's bringing out, the honorary use thing that he did, the Feeling Usy t-shirt, like they're getting it all out there. They're making goddamn money off this. And they are, what they say is putting butts in seats. And they're absolutely doing that. And I think like if you're going to capitalize on this, it seems like the only way out of this now is for Sammy to win it, which seems like such a stupid thing to say. That when Roman Reigns started this...
That SummerSlam we were watching.
This run,
yeah.
And you're thinking, like, who's going to be the one to topple Roman Reigns? Nobody had Sami Zayn in that list the person.
Which is why it would make more sense to me, and obviously to fans, I'm sure, like, for that to be the case. Like, because... What's going to be more memorable? Yes, don't get me wrong. I also think Cody would be a great candidate.
Yeah.
Everything he's done since his return, obviously, might just get injured.
Yeah.
Even that's actually worked out well for him, I think.
Well, yeah.
So, like, he would be a perfectly good candidate, and there's no reason not to do that. I still 100%. Think, in their eyes, if you're talking about company eyes and talking about poster boys and all that kind of stuff, I can understand why they go for that. I'm still would probably buy that, but... Sammy, what a memorable thing it would be. Sammy doesn't have to have the belt for long.
That's the thing I was just going to say. Like,
it's
literally
Mania,
it's Kofi Mania.
It could last a month. It could last to WrestleMania Backlash and then the Bloodline, like, absolutely tear him apart at that point.
Roman could literally win it. Yeah. I know that would be, like, people would be going mad because it would be pointless. But I don't think it would be pointless.
Yeah.
I think it would be amazing to have a mad upset for the night.
But the great thing about that as well is that you get the moment with Sammy at WrestleMania. You do a month-long thing of them just tearing him apart leading mm-hmm. into this thing. Obviously, like, it's the entire bloodline against Sami Zayn, which, like, gives a reason for him to lose at WrestleMania yeah. Backlash. Put the title back on Roman, go wherever the hell you want with that, and then eventually you can work that back to Sami and Kevin Owens versus the Usos yeah. and tie it all yeah. back in, and you still get to do that as the tag team feud as well.
To be honest, the way wrestling's gone this year, my prediction for next year
here we go.
Is Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns Royal Rumble. All right, we'll come back to Royal Rumble in a second. Mm-hmm. Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber. Wins the title there and goes on to defend it. Not against Roman Reigns, because he's busy fighting The Rock at WrestleMania. But because of how unpredictable 2022 has been, 2023 has to be even madder, feels like. So at WrestleMania, on the other night, Sami Zayn, main event, defending all the world titles against the winner of the Royal Rumble, Bret Hart. So I wouldn't be surprised the way this bloody year's gone.
How did this work when you did it with the Dudleys?
You
immediately was there immediate silence, and then you just heard as Michael's erection hit the table. Is that what happened? Is that what you did?
He's been going into far too much graphic detail about his.
Oh, listen, man. You know what set him off? What set him off was watching that documentary about the blokes with the massive penises.
Yeah.
And that was on normal channels, I should point out. Channel 4 or something, was it?
Yeah,
he was
so. Saying?
Sounds very
he kept. He was trying to get me to watch it. I was like, I have no desire to watch this, man. What is your deal? Sorry, Hamlet, just put you on blast there on the podcast.
He's already... Off
oh, that's
right
good.
Now.
That's okay. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, back to the real stuff on the table. Who would be mad at Sami Zayn?
Exactly.
There's just such a good case there, and wrestling's made up of good stories. You remember those better. Video packages, yeah. Everything is the thing you get at the end of all this. That's why, to be honest, I think that's why, I don't know if it's the same for you, but I always think maybe a reason I end up getting into video editing is because that's the thing you get left. Yeah. Those are the things that last. At the very end of it all, it's usually 3 minutes and a half of whatever happened, and we will be talking about that forever.
Yeah, it's like if you look back at WrestleMania 17 now, do you think of the Rock versus Austin match, or do you think of that video package with my way on it? Like, that's the thing, and you're remembering from it.
Just because Roman's reign has been so long, it has meant that there's this massive expectation on whoever gets that has to be this big crowning thing.
Like beating Brock, almost.
Like, yeah, or like how it was supposed to be. Or taking the streak, yeah, but obviously... You know, that's how people imagined it being.
Yeah.
But that's just in our heads. That's not what they... Yeah. Yes, they wanted to be the right person. And, you know, it would be a great way to subvert that by having Sami win it and then Roman win it back, and you can feel like it's going to happen. You could have your cake and eat it with both guys here. Cody could still get his rub the right way.
He gets a year of the title.
It has to be him. It has to, like, he has to have it at some point, and he will have it.
Yeah.
What's to say there's not an even better narrative waiting around the corner from the way him and Seth have been going? What's to say there's not something in those two? Like, there's money everywhere. I just think right at this second, on the pulse, the guy who's in the trenches doing all the hard work, Sami's in.
In terms of the rest of Survivor Series War Games, in terms of the women's match, of course, we got the return of Becky Lynch. That happened on last week's SmackDown. She was a part of the winning team on Saturday. And, first of all, Philly, happy to see her back. And B, how happy are you to hear about the monster push coming for Rhea Ripley, no doubt off the back of yet another sensational performance from her.
No, I'm not happy to see Becky Lynch back. What are you expecting me to say at this point?
Really thought we just turned on you there.
God, I wish you stayed home. No, it's fantastic, obviously. And I was never a fan of big time Bex, really. She tried it, I guess. It didn't really work. I think it probably would have worked better if it was more natural in the run of the man, like before she got pregnant and left.
Yes.
It felt like that ending of the man character with the monster truck and stuff like that was leaning in that direction anyway, and it probably would have felt a bit more natural if that was the story that continued. But because they had the
you
big break,
she should have lost to Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania.
Who would suggest
who
such
would ever
a thing?
Suggest such a thing?
Apart from literally everyone.
But it's great to it's obviously great to have the man back. And what was the other thing? I can't remember now.
Rhea Ripley. Who
He doesn't care about Rhea Ripley. He doesn't care.
We've done a podcast that's going to be coming out over this weekend about Ronda Rousey and, you know, seemingly inevitable Ronda Becky match at WrestleMania. Saying earlier today, I think I'd rather see Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair in the main event of one of the two nights of WrestleMania, and that seemingly her getting this monster push because she's effectively the de facto head of the Judgment Day now makes so much sense. And arguably, she's the favourite to win the Rumble now.
Yeah, it is a really weird turnaround, and I guess it's just time and maybe recency bias, but like it's just been on absolute fire recently. Like, you look at Rhea Ripley on TV, on pay-per-view, or whatever she's doing, in any position, she's the star. Like, even if she's just around ringside in like a 3-on-3 match with the rest of the guys in Judgment Day, she's the one that's taking up all the like screen time. She's the one you're drawn to every time she's on TV. And it's like that all the time now. Something's clicked in Rhea Ripley recently. And she just gets it. Like, she is portraying herself as an absolute star. And it's like, now is the time to capitalize on that 100%.
And it's interesting you say that, actually, because Rhea Ripley's always been an enigma to me. People would rave about Rhea Ripley, and it just never clicked. I'm not saying she isn't good. Sometimes doesn't click with you the way it should. I can see it. Yeah, I can understand why people like it. But for me, I always felt like it just wasn't quite on the money it needed to be. Something was missing. And the best run she had while I was watching her prior to all this would have been the War Games run where she did the Survivor Series as well. It was the NXT. So her and Adam Cole basically having this amazing like weekend in November, and Keith Lee and a lot of others at that time. But it worked, and I think we're realizing that now. It works because she's good. They need to find the role, and the role is her in a group of about 4 or 5 kind of thing. Like, worked as the leader of a War Games team because she's a badass, the leader, and she takes control. And I think it's having the support of other people there, maybe freeze her up. We've seen it with so many acts before. You try to put them on their own too early, they can't do it, then you give them some support on screen or behind the scenes or whatever, suddenly everything clicks. And I think the reason for her is because she's not meant to be the star, so that the pressure isn't on her, and she's just being able to do her thing. And naturally, she's really good at it. But when Triple H is getting out of run out as a solo star, and our mate's getting beat up in the ring, and he gets hit our entrance before she even gets there, it's just not, that's not it, is it?
Yeah.
Like, you've got to let her, it seems like she obviously works better under the cover of like a bunch of other people.
It's funny that it's happened at the same time she's been paired up with Finn Balor as well, though, because like you look at like Becky Lynch when she talked about like training with Finn Balor originally, and like how amazing he was, and like just instilling everything about wrestling like in Becky Lynch, and she's always spoke really, really highly as him as like a trainer. Like, he must be taking on that kind of a role here. Like, he's incredibly good at his job, and having just like riding the roads with someone like that and being able to like use their experience, and especially like all his experience in New Japan, which is obviously a lot of the stuff that's coming out like this, and in a group and things, it's all shining through.
I think it also helps that she can, you know, sit under the wing of the best heel in wrestling right now, Dominic Mysterio. That's always,
of course,
beneficial.
I mean, that helps, course, obviously.
Yeah. It's a hell of a learning tree.
I think having him as a pet is useful. I also think she's obviously quite tight with Damian Priest. You see many times, like her and Riddle and a bunch of others who were in NXT at the time who were quite tight.
Yeah.
That can only help you. And obviously, you're seeing it now. I think you're always worried, aren't you, because she's doing so well right now, that they might end up trying to pull triggers on her in ways that they don't need to. Just let it, same as this Sammy stuff, just let it run, man. Yeah. Let it run its course. Don't pressure these people and let them find their way. And she's doing an amazing work at the minute. Who's doing it better, really, than her at the moment in the women's division? Or in the men's, let's be honest. Genuinely.
Would you ever win the Rumble right now if you had to pick a winner?
I thought you said, would I ever win the Rumble? I think I would, yeah. I'm really crafty.
Back yourself, good.
I back myself, yeah. Would I have a winner? Yes. Sorry, I was literally getting caught up in this thought. Like, what would I do? What would I do to stay in the Rumble?
Person I've eliminated.
I just not get in, and I'm quick, so you'd never catch me. She's definitely a strong candidate, I'd say that much. And I think I want the same as you. I think I really want that Bianca and Rhea match. Don't do the thing that WWE does where they've got these two things that are operating at the peak of their powers, tag team, two male contenders, two female contenders, whatever it is, and they just don't do it. Like, four horsewomen match anybody, just was there, or just gone, never going to get that back. Just do it. I just think, go with the flow on this one, and if that means Ripley winning the Rumble, then so be it. But I think you can get there in other ways, to be honest.
Just the ominous, and I love her, it's not her fault, ominous sign of, Charlotte Flair might be coming back.
Anybody want to do a triple threat?
Speaking of the Rumble, though, we talk about Cody, Sammy, Roman and KO matches and stuff, and Rhea, obviously. Big news being teased today by Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer that The Rock could be set for a surprise return at the Royal Rumble. How do you two feel about that? I'm very biased, so
you
I'm
going to
hold my tongue for a second. How do you feel about Dwayne making a comeback and entering into the Royal Rumble, maybe even at number 30? Ooh.
I'll tell you how I'm going to answer that question.
Here we go.
I think Roman Reigns versus The Rock in any capacity is money. I think we all know that. I don't think that requires any further analysis. I don't personally need The Rock back in wrestling. That's just my personal thing. I just don't need it. I'd have it if it comes back in the capacity for these matches and stuff. And I'm sure people will go crazy if he turns up at the Rumble. Mm-hmm. As will I, if I'm watching it live. I don't know if I need him back. I think that's just my take on it. I think there's loads of money on the table for whoever he wrestles. Hell, if he wrestled Triple H and they managed to find a way to keep his heart, okay, I'm sure they'd find money in that too. Whoever you paired him with, it'd be fine. It'd be great. But I just don't know if I need him to keep coming back. But this is wrestling and people love nostalgia, so I get it. I would like to see Roman Reigns and The Rock. If he's at the Rumble, good. There's my answer to that.
I think there's a way. I was just trying to write up my...
Nice for him.
Yeah.
Nice for him. Yeah.
Right up my final few entrants into the Rumble here. Because I think there's a way you have him. I wouldn't have him win the Rumble.
No.
An appearance, I'd be so happy. Just ecstatic. You know, if you're going to have like the Bloodline dominate the Rumble and just keep chucking people out, and then The Rock's like, we're not having this. Nice callback almost to when he helped Roman when the Authority, or whatever they were bloody called. Oh, Kane and the Big Show,
Kane and the Big Show eliminated all of your favourites. Like, knocked them out and just dragged them out, just chucked them over the ropes.
And then they went, hey, Roman's won. And you were like, ah. Oh. And they were like, oh, but wait, Rusev's here. He's won again. Okay.
Bye.
So, like, I don't know where you have Rock come in, do all that, and then Roman's like, well, I'm going to deal with this. He gets chucked out by Roman, and then like, that's that.
Yeah.
And you can do some family stuff. And then you have a Royal Rumble winner. I was just drawing them up there. 27, Cody Rhodes. 28, Big E. I'm just booking Big E and everything because I love him. Get well soon, E. Obviously not rushing him back if he's not ready.
No, definitely not. Get well soon, hopefully.
Yep. 29, CM Punk. 30, The Rock.
Of course.
There you go.
There's your final four.
That's our final four right there.
And also...
Good luck, everyone.
And simultaneously, you've ruined everyone's pushes.
You know what would be really funny about that, though, is if the last two were CM Punk and The Rock wins. Because we've had The Rock's come back at the Royal Rumble before, and we saw how that went for CM Punk.
Hey, Punk, we'll give you a WrestleMania main event, but you've got to do the job on night one to The Rock again. At the Rumble again.
Again.
What do you reckon? And you've got to let Kane put you through a table again.
And yourself.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's just one of those, isn't it? Like, I realize it could just bugger all the stories up, but.
Yeah, that's the thing.
To see, like, The Rock wrestle.
So, this
man.
Is your thing. A year ago, thinking on this, like, The Rock versus Roman Reigns at Hollywood.
Yeah.
WrestleMania makes all the sense in the world. But now, much time has passed.
Yeah.
Cody came in. It was absolutely incredible. Sami Zayn thing has happened. Like, The Rock thing, it seems more and more unnecessary. Even though it still would be amazing. But, like, personally, I'm not that bothered because, selfishly, I've already seen The Rock's return. I was at WrestleMania 28. I was at WrestleMania 29. So, good, they did it twice. Twice in once.
Look
in
at you,
time.
Got both of them.
I know, right?
Big rock star over here.
Yeah. So I've done my rock in the main event.
I've done my rock live. I know that much. You ever watched a man set his own name on fire for 30 minutes? It's quite something. It's quite something, let me tell you. First WrestleMania, that as well. Thank you, Dallas, Texas. Sorry, Bray Wyatt and Eric Rowan. Oh, man.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, well, before we get to this week's hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, one final thing I want to talk to you about. You talked about watching a lot of AEW, and of course, indeed, we know about your history with loving NXT. Mm. So I'd love to get your thoughts. Yes. Mm. I'd love to get your thoughts. Still good, this show.
I can't even make a comment. I would not even want to steal people's phone. I was really sad when they tried to take 2.0 off you.
Creed Brothers, Big Body Javi, Cameron Grimes, Tony D. Still got it. But I'd love to know your thoughts both on MJF, the beginnings of MJF's reign of terror, his attack on William Regal, spoiler alert, here are my thoughts.
Oh my God.
And the news that changed about four times this week, but seems to be pointing to William Regal heading back to WWE as well.
Mm, where would you like me to start?
Let's start with MJF and his sensational promo and subsequent murder of an old gentleman on Dynamite.
Yeah, I think I won't be the first person to say murdering old people. Apparently, he's good. makes for great television, really, especially when they know someone who's not supposed to be selling anything sells everything. Like their life literally depends on it.
Yeah.
I just think, I tell you what, I will say this. I was a little bit worried when he started the promo because I wasn't sure. I was like, I don't know where you're going with this. And I don't know if I'm buying, I wasn't believing the email stuff. I know it's kayfabe, everyone. I know. You know, I still want to buy into it. I still want to feel like what he's saying is believable. Yeah. And I wasn't buying. I was like, the wording of the email, that's so pedantic, isn't it? The wording of the emails didn't sound believable to me. The whole thing felt a bit. But then as he got going, it was like, oh, this is, he's literally turned a meh promo for me into like, oh my God, promo. And for it to end the way it did, like literally, he's rattled off all these feuds he could potentially have out.
Yeah.
Tease you with all the best matches. Let's be honest, you all would really like to see. These are ones in his little pocket of wrestlers that he hasn't quite dipped into yet. And to finish off by doing the one thing that we were literally shown weeks earlier was, even in kayfabe, a no-go.
Yep.
Like, Regal so arrogantly turning his back on MJF all those weeks ago and saying, you wouldn't do it, you can't do it, because you know that even at your heart, I've got brain bleeds, blah, blah, blah. And he does it. And even better than all of this is, well, the week before you've had, we're going to get into the contract stuff, I'm sure, but like, Moxie telling him to leave and us starting to think, is this William Regal? He's leaving and he's doing everything he can to just put everybody and everything over he possibly can before he goes out the door. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
He's literally dead on the floor, basically, when we last see him. Maybe the last time we ever see him in AEW, assuming that's what's going to happen. Billy the Villain, man. What a great, weird story. And Dave Meltzer tweeting like he didn't understand why they put all this heat onto a guy who's leaving the cup. He's like, are you not watching this? Are we watching this?
I don't know how Dave got so confused.
He's literally, you've never heard of like going out on your back to put people over?
You've literally gone on your back to put people. Something I'm sure he would have said himself many times over the years. And not just that, narratively closing the arc so perfectly. Like, that's how it started. Literally how it started, how it's going.
Yeah.
It's that. What is that not to get?
I also love the fact that we were joking on the news yesterday, Phil. Has he got some sort of deal in his contract where if Triple H takes over WWE, he can leave? Yes,
he does.
Actually. Apparently so.
Like, that's exactly what happened. And before we jump away from MJF as well, just real quick, I loved that Brian is obviously a person who's so intertwined in this, and I've flashed these images to both Cedric and Hanford looking for praise from daddies. but I love that he's so intertwined with it, obviously with Regal, and he was literally name-dropped by MJF.
Yeah.
And like, what's he done? He's done exactly what the new Daniel Bryan did in WWE. He's got rid of this belt that you really like, and he's replaced it with this belt that you shouldn't like, but it's actually amazing. Like, it's a heel belt. Everyone panicked because we thought, we love the AEW Championship.
Yeah.
Why would you get rid of it? And he's replaced it with this. And it's like, oh my God, it's amazing. But I know I'm supposed to hate it. What is going on in my brain? I just thought that was such a nice little note. He's done this with a lot of punk stuff, and now he's doing it with Brian stuff as well. I think that's amazing.
It's so good as well. It's just the moment he, like, after he'd punched Regal, and then Regal went down, and then he just read the first email that he went through. It's just like, oh, it's all happening. This is all so beautiful. But it's like we were joking on the news as well that it's like the way that Regal has gone out of AEW. Yeah, he's put over all these different people, but he's also made himself definitely a huge focal point of a possible storyline between Daniel Bryan and MJF, where Regal as a sort of character will live on through AEW.
He's going to be quite a while now, really,
while he's working in WWE, which is absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And then the wrinkles that he's left behind within the Blackpool Combat Club, we've got no idea what's going to happen with that, obviously. Like Bryan and John Moxley had their thing last week where Bryan was still on his side, but obviously Moxley wasn't, and there's tensions there. Claudio and Wheeler Yuta were kind of off doing their own little thing on the show as well. Like, are they going to end up fighting? Are they going to come back together? What's going to happen with that? Like, he's left all these little wrinkles that are going to go on forever, and he's just set the seeds. Like, he's just thrown a load of seeds in the ground and let all these beautiful plants flourish and just wandered off into Triple H's land. Yeah. And it's
what a fantastic
way out.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about it all is that in amongst all this storytelling, there's that real nugget that the email stuff legitimately happened.
Yeah.
And all them years later, he's righted what he was probably feel. I bet he legitimately feels like a little bit of a wrong there.
Yeah.
And what's he done? He's in kayfabe and in real life, giving back to the guy. That's great, man.
It's like what Foley was talking about The Rock when, like, he hit him loads of times with the CLJ. Like, he never actually spoke to him properly about it. The fact that The Rock never apologized afterwards because he was there. It's like, this is a seed that's going to live in my head forever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hate him a little bit, but one day I'm going to bring that back up in a promo and it's going to be amazing. And that's exactly what MJF has done here. He's taken this one thing that pissed him off ages ago and he's managed to bring it into a storyline and made incredible use of it.
I'll certainly reread before I hit send going forward. I'm not going to make any nemesis out there.
And you really don't like people touching the back of your head anyway, do you? So imagine if I hit you with a bear of brass knuckles when you weren't looking. I need a stepladder, like, but I'll get you.
Well, let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. And as I said, make sure you check out the podcast over the weekend. We're going to be talking all about the future of Ronda Rousey and maybe even a podcast a little bit about a certain Kenneth Omega coming your way this weekend as well. But enough all this. It's now time for a Bloody Good Quiz.
Where's John Harrison's version of this, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Challenge. Oh, you've done it now. Do you know what it is? That poor lad, man.
Get to work, John. Bloody hell.
We love you, John. Don't listen to these idiots. You don't have to do these things. I was going to say, shout out to the book. He's too busy writing. That is so my kind of... get your stamp out. It's my kind of shit, that. Everything detailed in a nice book written. Oh, I'm a big fan of that. Big, big fan.
This week's Bloody Good Quiz is brought to you by Taltos Ravenloft.
Sorry, right, once more.
Taltos Ravenloft. Okay. I don't care if I've got the name wrong because of what I'm about to read.
Okay. You picked.
I know.
It's interesting because this is exactly what I wanted. Slag us off. Give us 5 stars.
Oh, there you go.
Did you give you 5 stars?
Give us five stars. Right.
Whatever you want. Drag me mom into this if you want. I'm fine with that.
The clue's in the title here. Great podcast. Thanks very much. In spite of the Three Stooges of wrestling.
Hey. Great podcast, except for all the hosts. Yeah.
Great podcast, apart from the podcasting part.
This could be so much better if the three main hosts would dial it back. Adam Wilborn begins each podcast with an intro, which often sounds like he's recording in the midst of a stroke. His volume is...
That's how it looks, too.
His volume is seemingly stuck.
I mean, that's what he sounds like and looks like on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. It's not just for the podcast.
See yourselves, guys. His volume is seemingly stuck on 11 at a manic 100 miles per hour. He needs to cut back on the caffeine as it becomes quickly exhausting to listen to. Imagine if you're like, I like the World Culture Podcast.
Imagine if you sit next to him in an office.
Hey, yeah, imagine being with him 24-7. Imagine being his wife.
He's not finished, though, is Taltos. Michael Sidgwick is the ever-pessimistic reviewer who seemingly hates the very thing he professes to love and buries his analysis in a deluge of overwrought melodrama.
Deluge, great word. Hey.
His negativity is on par with the most jaded hipster who's unaware of the irony of critiquing a form of entertainment which boils down to a bunch of people fighting over a belt in their underwear. Michael Hamflet is the dutiful sidekick who's dragged along like some younger brother.
I like this.
Love that one.
His presence is overshadowed by the other two hosts, so he comes across as rather milquetoast.
I got some bad news for you, Taltos. He's just milquetoast, pal.
That is...
It's not finished. The banter between these three sounds like three middle schoolers who got out of earshot of their parents and fixate on the male genitalia at an unhealthy level.
Don't suck my dick!
Their reviews often veer into Family Guy level non sequiturs. Thank you very much. About things not even remotely about the show. They're reviewing up to 15 minutes at a time, which I will never get back.
I'm not even doing a bit here. Can we get this? I want this
framed.
Like, printed out.
No, I want you to send me. I want that framed that I do. I'm not even doing a bit here.
Their wrestling analysis is drowned out by an insipid soundboard.
Bingo!
Which is often overused like a fart news at an inane FM morning radio show on the radio. Luckily...
There he is.
Right.
The plucky Phil My Chambers.
Hello.
Andy H. Murray, the H stands for huggable. Adam Nicholas and Simon Miller save the podcast.
Simon Miller.
I suppose he technically he does up to the nose. These guys alone make it an 8-star podcast. 9 if it were recorded in the Tokyo Dome. Well, thanks very
much. Best review ever. If I was already going to get it framed, now I'm going to get 2 framed and send 1 to my mother.
So
just miss the top
one as well, and I'll put it top half to the greatest wrestle culture pairing trophy.
Oh, we've got to do the. Should we do that?
Might as well just make me and Phil the trophies now. Exactly. We're done with it.
How many wrestle cultures have we got left this year? Idea.
Not enough. Not enough.
2.
It's never enough.
2. Yeah, we've got the one after the Christmas party. Well, in terms of ones that I'll be here to edit and organise.
There you go.
One after the Christmas party in 2 weeks.
Why don't we just do the one we always threatened that we were going to do, right? Where we said it live, but we just guess what happened.
Oh, yes.
For the whole week.
Record it on Monday.
Yeah, we just record it and
Monday,
just guess.
Monday, 9 a.m.
Just guess what happened on that random Friday in the future. See how close we are.
Anyway, thanks, Taltos. Yes, thanks.
That's the best one I've ever heard, Taltos. I'm not even joking, so congratulations to
very
you.
Very aptly. This quiz is about betrayals. So it'll be apt, considering the week that we've had.
Of course.
So, 10 questions, multiple choice. Shout your name. Wait for me to come.
I'm trying to think of in-office betrayals that have happened there. I was like, what's he on about?
Wait for me to come to you. And remember, most importantly, it's just for fun. It's been a while since we've had the three of us, isn't it? I just realised.
Has it?
It's been like it doesn't feel
f***ing long enough. Sorry. No, it has, because I've been off for 2 weeks, haven't I?
Yeah.
I've been off as well.
And Phil was off for 1 week, so.
Poor Phil got sandbagged with a Michael Sidgwick competitor across.
Oh,
he's
a bit
competitive.
That went well.
It's just for fun, that.
Just for fun for Phil.
Just
for
9-1. Only when he got like 6 up. Like, you can have one now.
Go on then. Hey, don't ever
barely let me get the finish quick. I've like done all these funny question options.
Nope.
I'm winning this.
You can't ever run them close either. No. If you run them close, you're in trouble. The closer it gets, the more you will come for your heart.
You love to see it. So 10 questions, multiple choice. Shout your name, wait for me to come to you.
Good luck, Phil.
Good luck.
How are we going to both win this one this time? I'm still real enough being the loser who won last time.
Oh, yeah. Imagine if I'd done that with the Dadleys.
Ooh. Oh, God. One day do that. That would be amazing.
Okay, question number 1. What did website whatculture.com rank as the number 1 wrestling betrayal?
Ooh,
was it The Shield breaking up, Evolution turning on Randy Orton, Hulk Hogan is the third man, or Sean throws Marty through a window?
Sean and Marty were going to be in there somewhere.
Phil, why not? I'll dive in. I'll go with The Shield.
Ooh, interesting.
No, dear, that's wrong.
I thought I was going for a bit of a recency bias thing.
Part of me wants to go for Sean.
Who wrote it? I should have asked that first.
I don't think he's allowed to tell, unfortunately. Yeah. That would have been my first question.
Yeah. It was John Cunningham.
Ah, that's fine.
Ah, you see.
And The Shield was 2.
I see.
What was he there? I know that was Hogan. Hogan the third
Evolution
man.
On Orton, Hogan and Sean and Marty.
I think he's gone for... I think Sean and Marty's an obvious one.
Yeah.
But I think he's gone for Hogan because of the impact it would overall have on the business and the fact that Hogan was Mr. Vitamins and Prayers and all that.
Yay! I was hoping Nicholas would get that. Do you know why?
Uh-oh.
because he presented the video about the top 10 wrestling shows.
Of course I did.
2020. It was a different time.
That would have been from your house, was it?
Yep.
Jesus. Oh, God, I've done it.
I've just gone to reach into the bag.
I've gone to reach into the bag of memories, and it's just not there, everybody. I don't know what you want me to tell you, man.
It's been pushed real far down.
Okay.
Next question. Stop remembering. Yeah.
Do you remember the Invasion storyline?
Yeah.
Remember that? Remember the good pay-per-view they had? The Invasion pay-per-view?
I remember it happened.
Yeah.
I remember the Invasion pay-per-view.
Yes, okay, fair enough.
You and I remember it differently.
Question number two. I just love the poster, I think it is.
The poster is one of the best.
After Austin betrayed the WWF and hit a stunner on Kurt Angle at Invasion, who pinned Kurt? Was it DDP, Shane McMahon, Bubba Ray Dudley, or Booker T?
Oh, my.
That is a good question. Give us the options again before your laptop takes off.
Diamond Dallas Page, yeah. Diamond Dallas Page, Shane McMahon, Bubba Ray Dudley, or Booker T?
Nicholas. I genuinely can't remember.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say Booker T.
Yay!
Two for two.
I was going to say either him or Shane, because it definitely wasn't DDP, let's face it.
Yeah. Either he was way too busy getting bogged down and being not one of Vince's guys.
But I thought the Shane Angle connection thing might have.
Shane was the only other one I was considering. Yeah.
This is an either or question, so if you get it wrong, point goes to your opponent. Question number three. Owen Hart kicked the leg out of Bret Hart's leg when he betrayed him. But which leg did he kick?
No.
The left or the right?
Nicholas, my brain immediately started screaming left, so I'm going to say left.
Yay! Yeah.
Sorry, Phil.
It just came out.
Kicked the leg out of his left leg.
That's how you remember it. Le, le, le.
La, la, la.
Le, le, le.
I'll know for next time.
Yeah. Question. Question number
2 years
four.
Time around,
question number four.
I'm going to shut up for three questions now, Phil. Get swimming.
That won't help.
Phil, do you remember the Festival of Friendship?
I do.
Now we're in play. Eh?
I mean, I say I remember these things. I don't remember them in detail.
I think you might remember this.
I think you've got this.
I need you to tell me the name of the magician.
Yeah, you can.
At the Festival of Friendship. Was it Coco? K-O, K-O. Always good when you have to explain it.
Did you have to? I don't know if you had to. He's quite clever, you know. Actually.
Bozo. Lister.
Aye.
Because of the list. Or Friendship.
See, I was thinking about Lister from Red Dwarf. Red Dwarf.
I see. Yeah. I really don't remember. What would Wilborn make up? Coco.
Coco.
You go for Coco?
No, I'm not going for Coco. Okay. I think you'd make up Coco because that's real bad.
Okay.
use psychology on him, Phil.
What were the other ones?
Staring into his Bozo, Lister, or Friendship.
Staring into his eyes.
I mean, Lister's is not Lister. That's just no. Yeah. I'll go with Friendship, the clown.
Dave Charles.
God damn it, Bill.
I like how also you think he's a clown now just because he listed Coco and
Bozo. Well, yeah, no, I've just got clowns in my head. And he wasn't even the question.
I'm just going to let you two have your fun. I just
right. Now, I sense you're going to be both. You probably won't need the options on this next one because this betrayal is probably burnt into your memory.
Oh, no.
At which takeover did Tommaso Ciampa turn on Johnny Gargano?
Oh, baby
indeed.
Orlando, Chicago, Brooklyn, or Philadelphia?
Phil.
There you go.
Brooklyn. Wait, no, it wasn't Brooklyn.
No, stop.
Brooklyn was with the t-shirt thing. That's what I was thinking. Bella. The other... Oh, do I get to think again? I said stop.
That's how quizzes work. Stop on Mastermind.
I don't mean it.
Stop, Quizmaster. Stop.
I'm going to pass it over.
I was thinking of the t-shirt.
Just run through the options again.
Orlando, Chicago, or Philadelphia?
God's sake. Chicago.
Damn it,
Phil.
I was thinking of the...
You're ruining it.
I was thinking of the blue DIY shirt, but that was the Andrade match, wasn't it?
4-1 at the halfway point, which is an appropriate time for me to pause and reveal. Going through into the round of 16 of the World Cup is Portugal and...
There's a twist.
South Korea.
Oh, excuse me.
Uruguay winning 2-0 against Ghana, but South Korea winning 2-1 against Portugal.
It's happening again.
Beautiful.
I know Phil's ecstatic in the corner there.
I am a big South Korea fan.
I do like the football.
I watch Squid Game. I watch Squid Game. Yeah. I probably support South Korea more because of Squid Game than I'd ever support England. Yeah. So,
no,
a bit of a tough one, this next one. Okay, 4-1 halfway here.
Yeah, something like that.
who's really counting score?
One person who's been involved in many betrayals is one Paul White, aka The Big Show.
Yes.
Yeah.
But how many turns has The Big Show had? Yeah,
we did do the thing where we counted them all, didn't we?
30? The fact that this is the lowest one. 30, 33, 36, or 39 turns.
This is really annoying because I knew it was 30-something in my head. Yeah. I was hoping at least one of them wouldn't be in the 30s.
I'll try and eliminate one.
Oh, hello. Right.
Oh, here we go. This is very accidental.
Gets it. Quiz is over.
I've got my finger on the yay button. Ready?
30.
Well, obviously, it's not that one.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Far too low. 33, 36, or 39.
I'll go with 39.
No, dear, that's wrong.
36 would have been.
No, he said 36. You were looking at it upside down when he said it.
Sorry, yes. One, two, three, four questions left. So still time for it all to be tied up.
For a tie.
4-1.
I've just got to go out the room now. You've got to get everyone right.
Just take a big sip of drink just to ask the questions.
Cover my ears.
Question 7. Who did Dakota Kai betray and attack at NXT TakeOver War Games in 2019? Was it Tegan Nox?
Tegan Nox.
Yeah.
Yay.
What an incredible... I remember texting Michael Hamblet. I don't know why I did. Like, he's going to be on his phone. He's at the show going, that's how you do a bloody turn. It was so good.
Yes. I can't disclose any further information, but just, I don't know if you ever asked him about that exact weekend, but one day, sit down with him, just ask him about that weekend.
Okay.
He wouldn't have answered his phone. But
4-2, three questions to go. At which pay-per-view...
That was a great betrayal, by the way. Yeah. One of my favourites,
very,
I think.
Very, very good.
Was so well executed. One of the best, genuinely one of the best ever.
And their team still won, didn't they? Because of Rhea Ripley just being mint.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, I was going to mention, and then I was like, that's just going to muddle it all, because that was the one where Mia Yim was meant to be part of the team, and she was injured backstage in a mystery attack. And Dakota was like, oh no, who could possibly have done this? I guess I'll take a spot.
Kevin Owens was at that one as well. Mm-hmm. Honestly, wrestling right then was red hot. NXT was, my goodness.
Better now.
I've heard even better. It's actually only improved. NXT 316 over there.
Which pay-per-view did Paul Heyman betray Brock Lesnar for the Big Show?
Oh, Phil. Jesus. Go on, Phil. You got this.
I'm going in before the things. The Royal Rumble.
Oh.
No, dear. That's wrong.
You stupid. Why would you do that?
I like the confidence. You gotta go I'll be honest, until I wrote this question and checked, if I'd have just gone, I'm fairly certain it's the rule. Yeah. It wasn't.
Dear.
Well, I'm not sure of it now. I may as well, may as well try and win by a large margin now.
The options are Adam Nicholas.
God damn it, Phil.
To take it to 5-2 in an unassailable lead. At which pay-per-view did Paul Heyman betray Brock Lesnar for Big Show? Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, Rebellion or Survivor Series?
Well, I'm in trouble because that's none of the ones I was thinking of. So not the Rumble. What was the other ones?
SummerSlam, Rebellion or Survivor Series.
I think it's one of the last two. Rebellion would be funny.
Rebellion would be funny.
But I'm going to say Survivor Series.
Rebellion was Edge Lesnar, wasn't it?
It was.
Yay!
Yeah, I know that.
It was Survivor Series.
Why aren't you asking that question?
Not exactly. Not exactly a trade-up, I think it's fair to say.
No.
It's the one where he hits the ref, pulls the referee out, obviously, and like, what the bloody hell are you doing? Hits the referee, and then he's so far more concerned, I should say, with his cap coming off than, you know, betraying his world champion. He's like, my bloody bald spot!
What happens with Paul Heyman and Big Show at Royal Rumble, then? I'm sure something happens at the Royal Rumble.
Did one of them not... Did Brock not kick the crap out of Big Show with a chair or something once?
Maybe.
With Paul Heyman with him? Was that not?
Maybe it was like the Will Rumble after that Survivor Series. Yeah, or something. I can't remember.
No, this was much later. I don't know. Imagine that, man. Someone being worried about the headwear falling off and showing off the baldness. World, eh?
Brock Lesnar defeated Big Show at the Royal Rumble to earn entry into the Royal Rumble, which he then subsequently won.
There you go. That's when I had me mad.
Okay. Got a clip for you now. I need you to tell me. I really enjoyed this. I need you to tell me who JR is talking about here. They've been involved in quite a few betrayals.
Does he have no conscience? Does he have no heart? Do you have no soul, you son of a bitch?
Triple H.
Yeah.
Always Triple H. Whenever he says, you son of a bitch!
That was taken from about a 30-second compilation where... Damn it, tell me why! I think this is the last bot. It's the one where he's not saying Hunter, basically.
Yeah.
But I just...
Does he have no conscience? Does he have no heart? Do you have no soul, you son of a bitch?
I feel like this is... What was he called? Who did the review? Taltos?
Taltos, yeah.
That's Taltos sitting listening every week. Does he have no conscience? Does he have no soul? Oh, my God.
I tell you what, Taltos. I don't have a conscience. Oh. I don't have a soul. But you know what I do have, Phil? That'll show him.
God damn. Every week I go away, I come back to more penis-related buttons. And I mean the noises. Not that don't look like penises now. Although to you, perhaps they do. Maybe. I don't know.
My new favourite one this week is the Taz. Bingo! Can I replace yay as the correct answer?
Can I just say Taltos as well? For those that listen at home, a lot of people want to give the heat to Adam Wilborn for this, right? And I understand that. He's the man who does the board.
I would too.
Yeah. However, the reason he does that is because the two people who pop at this crack the most in the world are Michael Hanflin and Michael Sidgwick. Ergo, if they were into different kinds of jokes that weren't revolving around genitalia, he would... Yep. All he
plays
do is
crowd.
He's just a pleaser. That's all he is. Yeah. He knows how to please people. That's why he has this lovely soundboard. And it's their fault. Tell Michael. It's definitely Michael Hampus' fault, at least.
Oh, without question. Final question. I discovered the Wrestling Classics magazine front cover after Sergeant Slaughter not just betrayed Hulk Hogan, but betrayed America. Which of these things weren't written on the cover? He's betrayed our boys. Lock him up and throw away the key. Send his butt to the desert or hang him. The three of those things were written on the cover of a magazine.
I like this idea that they could send his arse.
Just specifically.
Just his arse. Send it off.
Son of a... Where's that gone?
And then hang him without an arse. Good Lord.
Oh, my word.
Put them down again, please.
He's betrayed our boys. Yeah. Lock him up and throw away the key. Send his butt to the desert or hang him.
It can't be hang him.
But then so Wilborn put hang him as an answer.
So this is one that wasn't on the
cover. The one that wasn't.
Bill, why not? I'm going to go for lock him up and throw away the key.
The most tame one.
Yeah.
All the other three?
Oh, God.
Like, in a line. I'm going to see if I can find this.
Unbelievable. Hang him.
Let me show you. I'm going to find it.
Hang him. Send his butt to the desert.
There you go, look.
Oh, my God.
Throw him in the stockade was the official. Of course. We used to love Sergeant Slaughter, but now we say he's betrayed our boys. Hang him. Send his butt to the desert. Also,
I love how they're all in quotation marks.
Just how strong is Sid Vicious?
Has actually said that.
Well, the person who was writing them said it. Just how strong is Sid Vicious?
That's answering all the questions. Jerry and Brian are as nasty as they want to be.
Hey, you can't dangle that and not tell us how strong Sid Vicious is.
Yeah, come on.
Well, you'll have to wait till Wrestle Culture next week to find out.
He will never remember.
Never, ever.
Let us know at Adam Nicholas, at Phil Chambers. Phil My Chambers. How strong is Sid Vicious? Anybody? Let us know.
Yes, I've absolutely completely lost track of what the score was, but I think Nicholas won.
I think it was a draw.
I think you got...
I'm pretty sure it ended a draw, actually.
I think you got a... Bingo!
Yep, okay. If you say so.
Right, congratulations, Adam Nicholas, the winner.
Whatever the board says.
Oh, this, we week's quiz. Let us know how you got on, just generally, on Twitter.
Let us know.
That's what they're wondering. How did you get on to this podcast all those years ago? How did they let him in?
At What Culture WWE on Twitter, if you want to send us stuff. You can follow all three of us on Twitter as well. You can follow the winner of the quiz, Adam Nicholas, at...
Oh, God. At It's Adam Nicholas. Thank you for liking me and Phil for just not being here all the time. That's basically it, isn't it? Like, that's why absence makes the heart grow fonder. You can also follow Phil Chambers at
Phil My Chambers. And you can follow Adam Wilborn at
Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcast from. As I mentioned, the Ronda Rousey and Kenny Omega pods coming up this weekend. SmackDown and Rampage previews available right now. But for now, my thanks to Nicholas, to Phil. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon. Wrestle Culture is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Wrestling!
Erection!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.